favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. If you're known, it's been approved. Tiger grants. How was state with that?
I've got a little bit of information. I'd like to start off by introducing our new clerk, new owner, Danielle Harrison. Hi, Danielle. Frank Preston, this is Buddy Robert. Rick Zampus. Famous General Charles MacArthur. Mike Zimmerman with HDR and the newspaper. Mel and David Lundstrom from Great River Engineering. Who else?
Brian Spence.
Brian Spence.
Thank you.
We were going to talk about updates on Tiger funding. I did get a letter from Spencer last week, an email, that says nearly 1,000 construction grant applications for more than $19 billion from all 50 states, U.S. territories, and the District of Columbia, far exceeding the $600 million in Tiger transportation investment generating economic recovery dollars. The U.S. Department of Transportation can award for infrastructure projects ranging from highways and bridges to transits and ports. So what does that mean? That means a whole heck of a lot of people went through the same process that we did. But we'll keep our fingers crossed. 1,000 construction grant applications for more than $19 billion with $609 million. Update on right-of-way donations. Rick Ziegenfuss did a lot of work, it looks like. Did you bring that, Rick? Did you want to cover that?
Just the fact that some time ago, Frank and I and Commissioner Stropas met with the owners of a parcel of land in Hollister, Bank Syndicated Services Incorporated, and it's part of the East West Corridor Road right-of-way. The outcome of that meeting was I was requested, tasked, I looked at that, to request the right-of-way from the banks to donate the right, or the bank to donate the right-of-way from through Hollister to our city limits. So I went ahead and did that, and that just consisted of a cover letter, a map stating which parcels would be affected and how much land each of those would give up, and then Great River had prepared either a warranty deed or a perpetual right-of-way easement and the legal description to go along with that. The bank would choose one or the other instruments, whichever they felt most comfortable with, and I did include that along with some other materials the bank had requested and forwarded this on the 15th of September. So we've requested the right-of-way for that. A little update along with that, in the advisory council's purview here was extending the road over to Maple Street from the interchange to Maple Street. There's a section of that that's in unincorporated Tane County. Fundamentally, the property owners there are the Hendersons. Previous to this, we have had a subdivision replat made up for the Henderson property that does reflect this right-of-way through there. They would like to, and this is a little outside of my legitimate authority as a city guy, they'd like to speak. If the bank will give up this piece of right-of-way, then they're willing to talk about giving up their piece of right-of-way. They don't want to give that up and then have it go nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the bank says, well, you know, I'm worried about the Hendersons. Are they going to give this if we give this? Chicken or egg, that's how the right-of-way goes. So, at any rate, this is the first step on that. The bank has everything they need to do to execute this, and I thought I'd give them about 10 days, which is kind of this week.
That's what I wanted.
To them again and see if they've received all the stuff they need and that. So, that's kind of an update as I know it. Frank has copies of this. Anybody that's interested in that, you're welcome to take a look at it. Or if there's something else that the advisory board would like me to do, I'd be happy to do it as far as this goes.
Did the Hendersons request monetary compensation, or did they get that far?
we've been through so many generations of this. I actually personally, this is how long I've been at it, spoke with INEPS. And they have not, but that's off and on. And I think there's some inter-family relationships that has to do with that from time to time. So currently, they haven't. I don't know how much detail you want on this, but what it doesn't divide just real cleanly on existing ownership lines. On the south side of that, there's a small sliver that's close to Steve Anderson's property versus it comes off of a 6-acre parcel. Again, this is outside the city of Hollister, but I believe that city council would be willing to give some utility line extension concessions if they do this. It would probably far offset the appraised value of their property.
Yeah, the improvements would, and it opened it up for development.
And so I think their property, with that road being there, even if they decided just to live on it, having improved city utilities, they've got some city utilities there, but they would be improved. We can bring that to the partnership with the county, and I think we could probably do all right with that. So that's kind of a way forward, but again, if there's objections for that, we'll be happy to work with that. But that's kind of where we're at. Hopefully kind of a common sense solution to getting that land. I would also believe that it may be in everybody's best interest to say, look, we'll commit this land for a period of 10 years. If nothing happens in 10 years, it's back up. I think that might be reasonable if we need to do it that way.
It's good to have options for. So,
yeah. You would assume that the bank's legal, council would have to approve part of your request, or one of Archer's harbor routes. Great Rivers request.
One of those two formats would be the only two legal formats they could use, but they may say perpetual easement. We think that it makes more sense for a property owner to deed the property because it becomes public right away and they don't pay taxes on it. On easements, you pay taxes. So a lot of people say, well, I just want an easement. Well, they're paying for the road when they really don't need to. So that would just be advice. Because once it's signed as perpetual easement, it's going to be low. I guess we could take the tax out for the road, but that seems to make sense. But yes, legal review. Bankers Bank Syndicated Services is a cooperative of banks, and there are 39 owners of these parcels. So they speak with one voice, but they have to get, there's some mechanics to this. The property there would be highly more valuable to have this in public right of way than if they don't. So it would make some sense of that. Also, too, at least on the Hollister portion of this, that is in an area that has the potential to have a TIF. If it does have a TIF, this would be a developer improvement that would share money with, that they have to build the road. And I think, at least in all the plans that I'm aware of, this is a developer improvement to that property. I don't know that we're recommending that this would be a patient public government, county or city government improvement to that property. This would be a private improvement that we would be willing to partner in, that it's going to take private money to build this road and donate the right away. And currently they're paying property and all this right away. If they were dedicated, they could get that off their property taxes. They could get that off their property tax rolls on the stadium. So that's kind of discussion that we had at the meeting the other day now, 6 weeks ago or whatever.
Rick, do you know if the OTC is still moving forward in their plans to build?
Yes. OTC will make an announcement within the next 10 days on the site in Hollister. It's near the interchange. And we'll preempt that on the public record. We're not going to do that, but they have signed contracts, and they will be making a press release. I think it's going to be a joint release between Hollister School District, City of Hollister, and OTC. but it will be right around the interchange.
The reason I brought that up, I thought maybe potentially, at one time I thought they had talked about being somewhere on the east-west corridor, maybe not, but it sounds like the site.
They would have chosen a different site if the east-west corridor was here. It would have been closer to service to East County. But this is the closest place that they could get that could be reasonably serviced by that road, but not on a non-existing road. Mm-hmm. I have also provided most recently to the Hollister School District a drawing of how that intersection at East-West Corridor Road and BD Highway, that proposed intersection, how that would lay. They have purchased that land from Mr. Bowman, so the House School District now owns that land, and they are going to make some initial improvements, such as the cross-country track and things, and they are not wanting to put those improvements in the future right away. So they got that map and they're making decisions based on that. And again, I think at some point they may be amenable to talking with, again, that's unincorporated Tampa County, so. OTC's acreage was 200 acres? No, OTC's acreage was about 12.
Okay.
Okay.
Somewhere I read that I was supposed to have had the scoring of all the projects turned in at this point in time. Mr. Strafis and I had a meeting last week, and I related to him that I thought it was important that the members of the board, and then he actually found it in the bylaws somewhere, that the members of the board be involved in the scoring process, similar to how Mr. Ziegenfuss and I were involved with the planning of the new Tanicomo Bridge. If we as a members go through the scoring process, you can see how and why your projects ranked a certain way. So I put out this little Tanicomo County Transportation Advisory Board, sort of bylaws and rules, but the methodology, but under the prioritization, it's very, very complicated. And I'm wondering if we shouldn't use the same categories, like safety and quality of communities, access to opportunities and congestion relief, economic competitiveness and environmental protection, if we shouldn't use those same things. But the format, if you get a chance to read it. So what I'm hoping out of today was that we would go through the list of suggestions and Randy would pull those up on the computer so that we could, as a group, see what everybody's suggestions were and if there needs to be further definition or description in the project that I could incorporate that into the project list. And this, you have, want to move in a different direction, Mr. Roberts? Okay. And also, Rick, if you don't mind me just explaining that there was some confusion on District 1 and 7. I have a really nice detailed description of District 1, which is the district that Mr. Ziegenfuss thought he was a...
I thought I represented Hollister. I do that all the time, and I kind of was in on the ground floor on some of this, but then later I found that that's not true. I've got some legal things that I, about representing an unincorporated Tampa County district representing Hollister.
So I did talk to Mr. Strauss about, did I relate that back to you, that we have talked?
I too have talked.
Okay.
So, anyway, well, I'm here today. Let's
see. The first one we're bringing up on the screen is Acacia Club, and the description that I had for this was, this project was nominated by College of the Ozarks, and they have expressed their willingness to partner in a major role. Acacia Club Road, as it leaves the Hollister city limits to the west, guides to the northwest and continues along the top of the bluff that is a couple hundred feet tall. College owns the majority of the parcels adjoining their current alignment. They would like to see the road realigned to the south, thus leaving Hollister in a straight westerly direction until it reaches the bottom of the hill and reconnect to the existing road. They have indicated that they would be open to discussion about donating all the right-of-way and participating in the construction costs.
Yeah, Randy, it would be Harsher City Limits. Can you see where that says Joseph Way? And yeah, right in there. Okay, a little bit farther to the west of that. Yeah, that where that curve goes in towards the bluff, that's the beginning of the project, and where it comes out. What, and I can just pass this around. The orange on this particular drawing, this is what College of the Ozarks gave me. The orange on this drawing is all owned by College of the Ozarks. And you can see the existing right-of-way that includes that curve and all of that. They're suggesting that where it leaves Hollister City Limits, it would go, instead of where it says Lowell Street there, instead of going on the north side of Lowell Street, it would go on the south side of Lowell Street. And it would eliminate that curve. And it just goes straight down the hill and a little bit, again, Randy, to the west of this yet, where, there you go, keep going like that. And where down by that curve right there, it would just reconnect up around to where by Sun Valley, down in that particular area. Here's a preliminary sketch of that, anybody that's interested in taking a look at it.
What would be their reasoning for doing that?
One of the things that they've got is, being they own all those, there's just a single parcel, and what you see, the trace of Lake Taneycomo there, is the water. But when you actually get to the bluff, that piece at the top is pretty thin. There's several pieces that road is within 50 feet of a 200-foot drop-off. And there's no guardrails, there's no anything, there's just... Some places there's homes, some places there's just open land. And if it would move away from there a little bit, again, not necessarily impacting anything, or you can, I guess there maybe the urban imagery helps that. That would just get it away from that very steep bluff at that one end. It would do away with a curve that curves towards the bluff, and then when it goes a little ways and curves away from the bluff, the geometrics would be a little bit better. And because they own all those parcels, they said that they would be willing not only to donate the right of way, but participate in construction costs. So it would help a bit on some of the geometrics of that road.
So you're saying that it starts right along the here?
Uh-huh.
And it'll come down?
Actually,
to right there?
Buddy, I even think they're going to come over. They would like to come over one more row like that. And the row that the roads that end up right there, instead of emptying to the north, they would empty to the south. Those center roads in here. But they're suggesting it's exactly what you just pointed out, is the road would come off of here, and instead of kind of curving up here and curving back down, it would just simply come around like this. And these people now leave to go up this way. In the future, this would all come this way.
But now CFO owns all of this, or this right here?
They own this, everything right here, they own. So you can see that they own all of this and all
so
of
they own some of this here.
Okay. Yes, they own all of this, so they would propose that this would not impact any private ownership of land. It would all come down here. And then they had originally asked to bring it in here, but I thought it probably made more sense to come in down here and make one
impression.
Okay. But there's a possibility that this could come over like that too, either trace.
And their cost sharing with this would be what?
Well, right now, they have just offered it up. Kind of my methodology when I went out into these places was I went to the larger transportation unit, the CFO being one of them, the airport being another, and just asked them if they had projects to do this before they were. So they said if the Transportation Advisory Board would be interested in further discussion, then they would go ahead and talk to us about what to do. But initially, Dr. Keeter was who I was told to contact. I did. They said donation of right-of-way plus participation in construction costs would be the
law. You would assume that if we would go along with this, these other parcels that they aren't doing is not in the orange, they would wind up only in time.
I'm afraid to speak to that. I don't know the answer.
And the only reason I say that it was the exception of that, this would all make bigger pieces then for this, where this lake is going to come.
Could easy be.
Okay.
And not all of those parcels, as you can see there, there's parcels that are unbuilt and unoccupied, probably more that are unoccupied than aren't. Other facts bearing on the issue there is in that current Acacia Club Road trace is the Short Creek low-pressure sewer line. So if we move over some, that sewer line would be an easement rather than along Acacia Club Road, which is has been the case actually where Acacia Club Road empties out now. The sewer line still goes, follows the old road to the front gate of the college and comes out that way. It doesn't go through any, it goes through a sewer line easement instead of the way it goes now.
Do you think the parcels that CFO doesn't own there, that we've got to know the name if we change the road?
Yes.
And they've got to be, they have to approve?
They don't have to approve, but it would be a lot less noisy if they did. And I do believe that there may be some advantage to them, only because some of those roads have a fairly substantial grade to them, and I'm going to say they're not 19%, but they may be 8 or 10. In the wintertime, they've got to come out and go uphill to get to the road. In the wintertime, they could go down to get to the road, so it might be a little less access problematic.
Okay.
The next one is Airport Road. That's going out to new Branson Airport?
Yes, and that's just a section of the road that's in there. And I understand that there was already existing discussions with the county. And I understand that there's been some changes to that, and I've not been involved with that. So I'm doing that in deference to an ongoing project already. So
it's my understanding that the discussions will cease on that. At least the half mile section that we were talking about, and that MoDOT is not and will not cannot be interested in that section according to our last Monday's meeting. So I guess I can strike that one from the project list.
Yes, in fact, and that one is not is one that was ongoing. So if that's no longer ongoing, I don't have any strong feelings about
it. This is 65. We're talking about the section that goes through Hollister, I believe.
Yes.
Is that adding a third lane? Intersection improvements at St. James?
St. James Street. Randy, you're right. You've got everything on there right now. But this is St. James Street that connects DB Highway with Business 65 through town. And what we're proposing is where Turkey Creek goes through from that bridge on around to the railroad overpass near the Mule Barn, that there's a center turn lane added to that road, and that there's a signalized intersection right here. And the proposal for that is, because of this, there are about, the latest traffic count on that's over 12,000 cars a day, which for those of you know that that's very congested, and for those of you that don't, 7,000 cars a day is about the threshold to add lanes, right? Four lanes even down 7,000. So this is very, very big deal. This, the proposed estimated cost of that is $750,000 to do that and a signalized intersection right here. Currently, the city of Hollister is moving forward with its federal surface transportation funds to work very diligently on that intersection. Great River has the design on that, and it is awaiting final MoDOT comments, and then it's approved. We have received from MoDOT an offer to do a cost share on that particular intersection. And on the $405,000 version, we have currently applied, like I say, $132,000 of our surface transportation money, which is everything we get for a three-year period. We have, to leverage that, we have to do a bit of a match. That was $32,000. And then they credited us with the other design cost that was involved with that. So I'm currently on the Hollister side of the ledger. We have to come up with an additional $7,000, and we can leverage that $405,000 intersection. And so I talked to council last Thursday night. This was as of Thursday of this last week. And they said yes, that we would commit the remaining money. That does not, even though the design includes the turn lanes for the rest of the way and the resurfacing of the Turkey Creek Bridge, we don't have a way to fund that currently. But if it's on the Tane County priority list, we can advance it to other priority lists. It is on the state priority list too, but the regional transportation group is working, that works with. So that's kind of where that's at. Another fact bearing on this issue is these are school bus routes. Hollister has 16 school bus routes. 14 of them come through the St. James Street intersection. So at school time, even though it's 12,000 cars a day, at that time you might as well be 60,000 cars a day because this is a big giant mess. It's when there's no turn lanes here, there's certainly a lot of activity going on in the travel portion of the roadway, so we're trying to avoid some of that. Currently, there is a signalized intersection at the downtown bridge between us and Branson, and there's a signalized intersection at the college. When those change, they create a break in access, so there's a little gap in the traffic. Well, the signal's changing and new traffic is coming, and that allows people to come out. Once this bridge is a roundabout, there will be just an almost continuous flow of traffic there, and this intersection will be even harder to work with. So that's kind of the discussion about that intersection, and we are very close on this, but the remainder of that project will be lane improvements and the geometric improvements to, most of you are familiar with getting into the Hollister Post Office. There's a very steep grade change there. This plan puts that open drainage ditch underground and improves that grade change to some degree. So anyway, that's all things that work in there.
Rick, do any of the school buses go up here to the intersection up here to come back?
They do to some extent, a few of them. That's a driver initiative. Okay. There's a couple of problems there. That's a kind of an odd backwards turn that the school bus has to make. It's possible to do that, and some of them do. I publicly, at partners meetings, encourage passenger cars to go down and do that. It doesn't change the dynamic of the traffic situation in the large area, but at this particular intersection, if you add that one to it, it doubles. Mr. Youngblood had talked about why do we not improve this intersection versus this intersection. In looking at that, there's some things here, not to mention Turkey Creek is right beside it, so to improve that intersection very much. And then there's a bluff right here. We have a little bit more flat space right there. There's some congestion with some buildings there. The other thing about this is, if you're familiar with that intersection, you can go straight off of St. James Street currently onto Downing Street. There's a little 75-foot strip of St. James Street on that side. We're proposing in this plan to close that little strip because that causes confusion too, where we have all of that. And then in addition, the service alley, which is behind Downing Street, between Downing Street and Business 65 Birdcage Walk, it needs to remain open for the mail trucks and the restaurant supply trucks and all those things. So getting rid of that small piece of St. James Street could help that a great deal too. So that's kind of the discussion about that project.
BB curves.
Basically, you can see that here. BB has several bad geometric pieces, but this particular curve right here, bends. The school has this piece of ground now. It could be possible to realign BB Highway and eliminate both of those curves. And that's a possibility there. Those have recommended
35-mile-an-hour speeds on them. The rest of the road's 45. We could straighten a lot of that stuff out. There is a lot of high school kids traffic there. And, again, that would be good if we could do some kind of geometric improvements with these curves right here. Where we could actually take that curve out and sweep it around like this and make that entire curve effectively make that curve. And that's all in a public, political subdivision-owned piece of ground now, other than maybe this connection down here. And I think that may be,
Lakeshore intersection, I think we're all know where that one is. Lakeshore and 76.
Yeah, Lakeshore and 76. I think anybody who travels East Highway 76 or whatever. Great River is done for a private individual, not for the city, but in the past, if not in the modeling of that intersection, they have some recommended traffic control measures there, storage lanes, geometric improvements. I call this area here the Wild West. You go on the Wild West, and you're just out there and think something ought to happen. Well, it might, but it might not be positive.
I see some crazy things happening there.
So at any rate, with the improvements to the bridge and storage lanes and some things like that, that's helped that will help traffic in there some. But you still have, under inclement weather conditions and limited sight visibility, fog and darkness, trucks coming down this hill and having to cope with people that are either coming this way with limited sight triangles or doing some other turning movement there. And then, of course, that's compounded by Kennecuck having significant numbers of motor coaches going in and out of there during their summertime periods. So we think that we could, with a reasonable cost, do some improvements there.
Great River, you have done some preliminary design work for that intersection?
Yeah, we've done some traffic modeling. I did first get work on it, Keene did, but when I saw the model running, it was some pretty significant improvements.
Is it paint or concrete items or a combination? Or
I think it's a signal. A
signalized intersection?
That was a signalized intersection, but that would include some geometric improvements to help the slope on the road there. I also believe, and we didn't have a lot of discussions, it's been some time ago, but the geometrics of that curve, there's a lot of land there that could be worked with, and there could be some things that happen there. Plus, the approaches from this road have a significant amount to do. Cars can just come out here if they're going to go someplace. Well, now there's this car out in the intersection, or a bus out in the intersection. And others are trying to avoid that, and so I mean, we have people passing on the right, passing on the left. They're doing all kinds of things in there. And so just actually channelizing the road could be some things that could help with that.
That would be pretty tough if you didn't do anything with that grade, with trucks coming down having to brake on that hill.
They're doing
when it's
that,
wet. Or
yeah, and whether we did anything with it or not, the trucks are doing that now. So
so they don't have to stop.
Well, if somebody's
they
turning,
slow down, yeah,
or whatever. But the trick on that is adding a storage lane off to the side, so you're not turning in active traffic. You move to a storage lane on the side or a turn lane.
Yeah, what I meant was trucks going west. The cars that turn, they get off the road, but that truck has to now stop on that steep grade with
that's
the
true.
Light there, and
that's true.
That's tough because that's pretty steep grade. Just stop a load on.
I think that one is 11% is steepest, something like that. I don't know because it's a little outside the city, but I have it in my head. It was like 11 was the steepest. Most of it was somewhere around 8 or 9. So that's it.
I know that we had a lot of discussion on that when we were working on that and looking at that grade.
Yeah. Rick, are the improvements that they're doing there at that intersection taking into consideration future three-lane going back up the hill?
If we did this,
yeah.
I would like to think they would. I mean, if we're recommending that, I think that's part of what may be part of the solution here.
Because that three-lane has been in discussion up to T.
And it's my understanding that MoDOT's getting ready to do T intersection.
We're getting ready to sign a cost share agreement to
do it.
To T and 76 intersection.
And I did not include that in the kind of the corner up here of District 1. T's in there, but I felt like it was...
It's well underway.
It's already kind of in the agreement stage, and that's a little bit of... I wouldn't have even said anything about Business 65 if it was just that intersection, but there's going to be part of that that doesn't get included that needs to be. And both T and Business 65 are on MoDOT's mm-hmm. planning list, so... That's kind of why T is not on my list, because it's pretty much in process.
If you go ahead and do that and you signalize that intersection, and later on, three lane is the signalized bicycle still stay there?
We build the intersection to accommodate future improvements. So the intersection is built to accommodate the eventuality, and we may have two lanes coming down and then widening into an intersection, the storage lanes and all of that, that would reflect what it would look like in the future. But I wouldn't recommend doing this just based on two lanes of traffic. Also, too, all of the bridge improvements are predicated on 20 years of growth. So all the storage lanes and everything there not only are predicated on today, Frank and I were on this value engineering team, but that is with 20 years of existing pace of growth is what the bridge is built for. So I would anticipate we should use those same numbers or equivalent numbers to do that intersection. And I would also say that I don't know what the distance is between where the bridge improvements let off and where this would start. One major piece of infrastructure is in there is the Coon Creek Bridge. And if we're going to do something there, whether we do it here and here, eventually we're going to have to address the Coon Creek Bridge. Mm-hmm. So, now there's space there. The Knox Avenue intersection is there. We have talked with the current owners there, and they have submitted plans to improve Knox Avenue, the angle of Knox Avenue, and that approach right there. So, again, a lot of different pieces to this. Some of it is within the city's scope. Some of it would take county help. As far as just prioritization, I don't know that we're necessarily saying that there has to be county money in this, although that may be such a thing. But again, just getting it on a priority list and talking about it. And when we have our representatives go regionally and say, well, what's on the list? And they've got something to work with if that's on the list. And then at some point in time, we're just, I mean, eventually all these projects go down the line. The one piece that's underestimated always is the Coon Creek Bridge. It's safe and it's adequate currently, but at some point that's going to have to be looked
at. Even on Lakeshore, prior to the signalization of the intersection and possible three-laning of Mount Branson, I would think that just some generalization, maybe with traffic markings, center lines, or painted islands would be beneficial just to keep those people from going on what's going on.
And I would bow to somebody, a trained professional, to look at that. That's a possibility. There is, I'm not even sure how much I want to say about this. There's a better solution to all of this right here. And that is to reroute that portion of Lakeshore Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Randy, let's go out a little bit farther and let's look a little bit farther to the east here. Back down towards Canada Camp, see if we just get a little farther. I don't even know if
back out.
Well, that'll do it pretty much. But basically, what you've got Lakeshore Drive that skirts the lake, and you've got a 140-foot bluff right beside you. So what you can do down here is pretty limited. Mm-hmm. Now, it's relatively scenic for campers going there, you look like you're kind of on the road to camp. But this is a problem with improving that. But there are many, many other options that could bring this out at a much better intersection. And so if we could get the heavy traffic
off of this road and on to another through route that had a better alignment, I think you could solve a whole bunch of your problems. But again, and I'm not sure that looking at a different alignment, I mean, it isn't going to be easy, but looking at a different alignment, which you may not be able to have a very similar cost with a very different outcome. This is always going to be a band-aid on a bad intersection. I don't care what you do with it. I mean, you can't really make much out of that. And this right here, there's not much improvements you can do with that road because you're going to go into a situation where you're in a floodplain. I guess you could blow the bluff back all the way along. But I think a different alignment here might have some value. So anyway, I don't know that we need to develop that. I didn't tell you about the rest.
Grand Park Road. Clevenger Branch.
Improvements, but it's still a fairly steep downgrade and two steep curves in here. I think that this is a single property owner on both sides of this, and a bit of geometric improvement in this area could help that a great deal. Now, pre-me, I do understand that Sutton County, I do understand that there was a high school student who was killed on that intersection at one point in time. Randy remembers that. And what's happened to this now is it's gotten more and more traffic because this is closed off to 65 now, so a lot of people who are coming over here are using this to get down through here that before may have used some other route. So this is getting heavier traffic, plus this is developing, the Paradise Point area and all that continues to develop as long as Big Cedar continues to grow the way they do, and this is their back door back into town. That little piece right there is continuing to get additional traffic. And again,
that's quite a ravine there, isn't it?
Yeah.
For a bridge.
K value when you hit the bottom and go up, is that what that is? How smashes you in the seat?
Yeah.
Okay, well that one, if you're not ready for it, I imagine has pretty high K value.
Top of the rock is full of
white.
Top there?
Yeah, this is top of the rock right here.
Okay. So Grand Clark Road does not come into top of the rock at all?
No. It borders the edge of the golf course right here. There's some retaining wall abutment along there that it separates it.
Because top of the rock is getting ready to have a museum. That's my understanding.
I am personally very surprised that they haven't asked to have access this way too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to come down the old highway to get out one way.
Yeah.
I anticipate that's a matter of time situation, but I don't know that.
I just learned this recently that they're putting in a museum, and I'm thinking, okay, where's the traffic going to go?
And I believe, again, one of those, if I tell you, they have to kill me, but they've got some other things that they're doing out there that's kind of unique, and I think will actually stimulate some traffic. I think you're right. I don't think there's going to be a lot of traffic out there.
Well, they might come in the west end on down to Graham Clark Road. Is Morris Property owns most of that down in there, I believe.
They do.
So they could come through their own property, top of the rock, if they wanted to direct their people there.
They could do that too, but eventually the only access down into that area is Graham Clark Road, mm-hmm. unless you go down to Ridgedale and come back north. And so I anticipate that these issues will never get any better. They might get worse, but they won't get any better. I went down and drove William Graham Clark Road again, a little bit out of my area to look at again, just to make sure. But the road itself generally is in good repair. But
It's just the geometric improvements right in there. And again, I looked at roads that had a fairly high traffic count on them. We've got a lot of little bad little corners on stuff that has 100 cars a day, or it's the start of somebody's personal driveway. I think the commission meetings here on a fairly frequent basis in the Peak Farm Road area, people, there's some people down in there that would like things, but very low traffic roads. So that was kind of the decisions here. It impacts a lot of people.
Moving on to District 2, road improvement suggestions, State Highway K, Bull Shoals Lake floods. Taney County Commission has been meeting with the Army Corps and Arkansas Fish and Game on multiple locations and have discussed the heck out of this site.
There we go.
And currently I was asked, as of this morning, to call them up again and see if we can't get moving on this project. Randy, you know how much the fill would need, we would need to fill there?
To get it above the top flood level, about 14 feet.
Okay. And this is the location right here that we're talking about?
This location right here, if flooding happens from about this area all the way over to this area. It's this cove right here that water backs up.
And once that happens, we have to reroute everybody that lives here, which might be 20 families, 30?
There's about at least a dozen that we get keys out to.
And we have to reroute those people through private property, which is, it costs us dearly every time we do that, every event. They want new fences or a road built or ponds built. So we would like to do everything we could to avoid from having to use that private property.
Didn't the county take over that park?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
That and the one over on
the Corps had it closed with some big boulders.
The other one over there, Kissy Mills.
Yeah.
Just recently, they've said the county said they'd take them over because the Corps was going to close them.
Well, it actually was closed, but the rocks were moved.
Yeah.
Randy, there's some equipment sitting out there. I thought it was yours.
We're working on maintaining this one, the one at the Z Mills would have been, but now they will want to.
They're in discussions.
They're in discussions.
There's no actual signing of any documents yet, but there's strong discussion at the county.
Yeah, I think the county is in favor of taking it over.
Absolutely.
All they got to do is get the court.
14 feet, is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
This road will flood at lake elevation 681.
And I understand that up there, somebody has bought one of those old resorts and is redoing it up there. I couldn't imagine they would buy it along with that road when that road floods, you know what I'm saying? But that's what I understand.
Charles, out of your five, would you rate that as the number one in your area?
Yes, okay. It would be number one. Now, I have more than the five now. Right. I've added.
Okay.
We'll go through those, but.
The next one is Slough Hollow Road, Bull Shoals Lake Road. Floods on a fairly consistent basis, and with the minimal flow project that Arkansas Fish and Game continues to say they'll get the project going soon, they would actually like to do construction out here on Slough Hollow. This section of roadway is about, what is it, how much of a length is underwater, Randy?
There'd be over a half a mile. It depends on the lake level, but anywhere from a quarter mile up to half a mile.
Didn't they say they changed their mind and said they would only go so high, and we're wondering if that's high enough?
Right. It was originally discussed as being a 5 foot change in static elevation.
Right.
What they're now discussing is that what they meant to say was it would be a 3 foot median or average, and they had promised to build the road up to the 5 foot elevation, and now they've come back with a proposal to build it at 3 feet, and the county, if they chose to do so, could pay for the additional 2 feet on top of that. So we're in discussions with them, and there's a meeting upcoming shortly on the Slough Hollow project also. line intersection at Bruce Hill and Nazarene Road, east of Highway M.
And on that one, you might relocate the road a little bit, bring it on down to the west, to where it comes out, you wouldn't be right at the bottom of the top of the hill. Yeah,
if you can. I have met with MoDOT on one occasion, and we measured this out, and the road, if you relocate, if you get their current site distance spec, the entrance of the road would have to be relocated down to this area here at least.
Right, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
And navigating in changes.
Right.
Now, Brace Hill goes down to a ramp.
No, it's
Slough
Hollow.
It goes to Slough Hollow.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yep, you're right. Any further discussions on that, Randy, with MoDOT?
No, I just met with him one time, and we haven't went any farther with it.
Okay. Need stoplight at 160 and Y. That's right out here, correct?
Yeah, they, in their proposal, they'll be doing some. They included that intersection. I don't think you were looking at a light, but maybe a roundabout or.
I don't know if Travis is working on it. One time they're talking about a light, though.
One time I know they were. I thought maybe, but you know, I got a lot of people's. That backs up down through there. You know, if you had a light, it would completely do away with that. Almost. But anyway, I got a lot of hits on that.
Guardrail, more bend at the lake. We have some of that guardrail right now, I believe.
Yeah, you do. And the school bus driver input that.
Well, mm-hmm. Right. So it would be a continuation of that guardrail that's existing and maybe upgrading what's there.
Yeah. They're just—it just scares them a little bit of
it's quite a drop.
Bad weather. Yeah, that's quite a drop, and I don't blame them.
Which is right across, basically, the KDOT.
Mm-hmm.
This section.
Yeah, it's on down towards the.
Guardrail currently is about in this area here.
Right.
Yeah. Going on to District 3.
Now I got one.
You had two. More, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well. We don't have any. Thunder Road off of Highway U, there's a narrow bridge and there's no railing and it's on a sharp curve. And there's a lot of things we could do there. Take out the sharp curve. We certainly could put railings, but, it's. And that's kind of a shortcut. There's another route, but everybody uses the shortcut, of course.
Currently is a chip seal road, or is it asphalt? Mm-hmm. This is currently a chip seal road.
Yeah.
It's over a connection to more of an asphalt road, but it's a chip seal surface on it also. Big Creek Bridge right here. Very sharp corner right here. We did get permission to clear cut a little bit of a site that was just a verbal agreement with the homeowner. No longer owns the property.
Have we got signs up indicating sharp curve?
I believe we do.
Now, what about the bridge, the railing? Is it any chance?
The bridge railing is currently a metal type, three rail type railing on the big bridge here. There is another low water structure beyond this bridge. Does have a sharp corner right here.
That's it, yeah.
And that one does not have rail.
Yeah, well, that's what I, yeah,
it's
it doesn't. Yeah.
Was that part of your suggestion, was that low water crossing to have rails?
Yeah, that narrow, wherever the narrow curve is, no railing. Okay. And, well, even, straighten it out, I don't know if you could depend on the money we had available to what we could do there.
There's a little one-lane structure right in this area, and then the sharp, it's a sharp reverse curve right here, and it's kind of on a funny little grade also.
Yeah, the grade's not good. But then on, I had a, you know, we've had a suggestion, like today we got one here where they, a firefighter said we need to, you know, upgrade the roads, we need to widen, straighten shoulders, anything to make it safer, you know. With that, that is on all roads, but I had a suggestion from a person that said on the narrow roads with no shoulders that, you know, they wouldn't be the money you could do all the roads because all of them are like that. And they suggested turnout areas. Now, that's just at appropriate spots now. Well, for somebody could get off the road. There's no place to get off the road.
Higher, you could go into an area.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's ever worked. You guys maybe have some experience. I don't know if that's just an accident waiting for a place to happen, or if that's but that's what there's. If we could widen all the roads, which we can.
There's a lot of them in snow country.
Yeah.
Mr. Roberts, it's 1 hour from the time we started. I personally think this is a valuable exercise. It's too bad that we don't have a phone house here today. But going through this would give the entire board an understanding of what all of the projects in the county are. And then I'm hoping that next time we can continue on, if you'd like, for today, or next time we can wrap this up and then begin talking about the scoring issues and how we can go about scoring all of these. But I wanted everybody to get a good understanding of what the projects were, and then I also be involved in the scoring process so that they can see how and why theirs ranked, how it did versus any of the other projects that are in the county.
Maybe we would want to wait till we had everybody here to go through.
What is your desire? I'm fine. I don't know. The more people you have at the table, the less time you're going to have to go over this and over this. I think so. Probably.
I agree. We've gone through two districts today,
okay.
So it's going to take a while.
Sure.
But I think it's a very valuable exercise.
Your sentiment then is to wait. Okay. Okay.
I would have some comment about the scoring.
Okay.
You know, you mentioned this, but MoDOT has a fairly well-defined scoring method. I don't know that I know the details of that, but I mean, it takes into account all these things, and they already have.
Right.
Something I don't know about reinventing the wheel. I'm thinking maybe if we can figure out how to apply it to us.
Well, they've already done the traffic studies, the counts.
Yeah.
And we would be discussing this. We'd be talking the same language that they talk when they go to their regional groups. So using the same scoring methods might be to our advantage. These are convoluted and complicated, and I personally don't know.
Could you get with?
Yes, Frank can get
with.
Go
down and take a look at theirs.
Down the train, the other thing that I would say, and I will tell you, I personally testified at state capitol about this, but I can see it on a smaller scale here. It used to be the scoring method. St. Louis and Kansas City, Columbia, St. Joe, Springfield all got all the projects because the scoring is what's going to happen here is if we score Branson, Hollister, maybe some degree Forsyth. The big traffic counts are there,
yeah.
So that's gonna be a
big tax base.
Some of these others. So I think we have to have the ability to say, okay, each district gets some things,
project.
You know, whether it's one project, and then the scoring method is used because all the districts have highways and 160 or 76 or something, 125. Something that they've got through there that will help. But if we just do the straight scoring method, that's going to be a problem. My district would buy benefits. I don't know how it's not like.
Well, I would agree with you on that wholeheartedly because these things just as important to me and everybody else is Branson is great.
Well, yeah, I don't see, you know, when I look at it, I see traffic count is important, but I don't, you know, when I look at, like, KDOT, where they can't get there when it floods. I can't see traffic count knocking that out.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just my sentiments, and not because that's in my area. If it was in somebody else's area, I would feel the same way.
Being that I was there yesterday fishing, you know, this is pitiful.
Yeah.
Again, it's even worse.
Yeah.
If the roads.
Do you realize that that is the only potential avenue of getting a full show in the river?
Yeah.
No, there's one more.
Where?
The Mission Road there by me.
It's a new one.
It's a new one. County made. He's grinning back there. The county come in and they widened Mission Road. They widened Yandell Cove Road, and they did Deer Lane, but it's not as good as Yandell Cove and Mission. But I guarantee you now, when they had that road closed, we had 30 some boats down trailers down there because they had the club out of Springfield come down for a tournament, could not get the KDOC to come down. One of them happened to know about it. Was on the internet. It's on the internet now, they tell me, and they knew about it, and they came down there, and they just did hardly. I went down there to help them all because they were having a heck of a time finding parking space. But yeah, it's just gravel. It's not like KDOC. It's not paved, and so it's gravel. It's base rock in the middle. And
I think we're looking at three more to improve. I think that's more.
That's the problem with KDOC. When it's really flooded, there's no place to turn around or really park.
Yeah.
At least you've got access to the dock. If we do this improvement, mm-hmm. bringing that
yes.
14 feet fill, at least we've got access to the dock.
Exactly.
And that man can still do good, stay in business.
Right. And if they have a resort up there that they're redoing, they can do businesses.
The other thing is, what on these traffic counts, when some of these things get bad, but I am assuming we still have some residents that can't get in or out on some of these roads, and that's got to score pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is emergency vehicles.
Yep.
I mean, whether it's a resort or Scott and the KDOT and all that, you've got it's high risk for emergencies, and if we can't get in and out, that's not good.
I talked to the fire chief, and he said that, you know, the gate locks are no good because he said that when his people get there, first ones that get there, they don't have the key.
Mm-hmm.
They got to wait on the guy that has the key. Mm-hmm. He said, no good. Well, you want a motion to adjourn?
Are we through?
I do have some information available. That map at the center of the room there, that's the accident locations in Taney County. Minor injuries, disabling injuries, and fatalities. So if you're interested, I can have one made for you, or maybe just by next meeting I'll have one made for each district in and of itself, and then you can look at the accident history in your particular district to possibly help the decision-making process.
We got a map.
I believe that's been out.
Somebody mailed us a map.
Okay. This one was just made last week. I don't know if it's updated information.
It might be updated over what we have. But I got a map that shows, you know, all the accidents.
It may show all the accidents. This one, what I was looking for was fatalities disabling,
okay.
and minor injuries.
Well, can we get one?
It's a little more detailed than the last one,
yeah.
is, I guess, what
well,
I'm trying to say.
Where could we get one, Frank?
I'll have one made.
Okay.
I'll have seven of them.
Good.
Thank you.
I'll make the motion with your...
Motion made. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay.
Let's make a statement. Any objections to doing that? We're dismissed. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Good
Thanks for the update.
Mm-hmm.